The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
You are listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Richland Bean Blossom Community Schools. Thank you for listening in today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today my guests are Superintendent Dr. Jerry Sanders. We have the Director of Teaching and Learning, Jennifer Barrett. Alyssa Drews, Edgewood Primary School teacher. And Claire Graham, Edgewood High School teacher. This program is sponsored exclusively by the locally owned and operated group of McDonald's restaurants in Bloomington and Ellettsville. If you are ready to get started working toward your college degree, McDonald's restaurants in Bloomington and Ellettsville offer financial support to their employees to help make their educational journey easier. Archways to Opportunity offers programs to help make your goals become reality, and in a way that fits your lifestyle. For more information on receiving $2,500 annual tuition assistance available to part-time student employees, as well as other programs, visit their website, archwaystoopportunity.com. McDonald's, committed to being America's best first job. Our nationwide media network operates with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We provide on-demand media programming for over 3,300 communities across the nation. Super Chat is a show format we offer for school districts across the country. However, this episode of Super Chat is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Richland Bean Blossom Community Schools. Well, I welcome all of you to Super Chat. Jerry, let me turn to you. We have been hearing bits about HRS, high reliability schools. For the benefit of our listeners, your stakeholders, describe just what is HRS.
So high reliability schools comes from one of the most knowledgeable educators, an author, Robert Marzano. And high reliability schools is something that our school corporation chose to begin to implement. We've been studying it more than implementing it over the last 2 years in terms of looking at what we're doing, making sure and using data to determine if what we're doing is successful. So the kind of the phrase we've been using is prove it or improve it. So you take a look at your list of programs and practices that you have going on in the school corporation, and then from at all levels, from my level at the superintendent's office to the principals to the teachers, we all have a mindset of digging deeper into what we're doing, making sure that it's working, and then either tweaking or replacing something that's not working. And then we get to a point then where we could say, this is who we are. And so each school is developing a playbook. And those playbooks are based on what are called leading indicators. And there's five levels of those leading indicators that we will work through. And we're working on level one right now, since we're just starting, and that level one is having a safe, supportive, and collaborative culture. So we will work through the different indicators under level one and get to a point where somebody at the Marzano organization will determine that we can be certified at that level. So you try to work on getting a certification at each one of those levels. Level two is effective teaching. Level three is guaranteed and viable curriculum. Level four is standards reference reporting. And level five is competency-based education. So we'll develop these playbooks down the road when we hire new administrators, a new principal, or even someday a new superintendent, then they will be expected to come in and follow the playbook. Too often in education, Gary, a new leader will come in, new principal, new superintendent, or new assistant superintendent will come in, and they'll have their own little repertoire of things that they've always worked on, and then they'll start to build those into the school corporation. Well, the poor teachers then, their heads are always spinning because they're always trying to do something new. Just when they get it working in their classroom, here comes a change in leadership, and they're changing again. So this is all about making sure that what we say we are, we're actually doing, and we can prove it. So when parents, community members, staff look at our school corporation, they'll look and say, well, that's a very reliable school corporation. You know what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. If you had to boil it down, how would you say HRS will benefit students and teachers?
Well, very good, because it takes it really helps us to drill down into especially teaching, so that everybody's teaching the same thing. We're in sync. It won't matter if you have a teacher A or teacher B; they'll receive the same education in both classrooms. Part of this is a new art and science of teaching. And so making sure that we're following those strategies and everybody's implementing the same strategies, the same curriculum. So this will help our schools to provide a higher quality education for our students.
You know, it seems like the adoption of HRS really across the board for all the stakeholders ultimately will sincerely help Edgewood schools in a positive way. This sounds very encouraging.
2 years ago, January, this month, we sent a group of administrators to the first HRS conference. And so we've been sending administrators. And then last fall, we started sending teachers.
Excellent. Well, Jennifer, can you share some specifics about the HRS conferences Edgewood has attended, including the conference in San Antonio, Texas, which was, I suppose, the most recent one?
So this year, we ended up taking about 18 teachers with us to San Antonio. This is a follow-up trip to the 22-23 teachers that we took in the fall to Birmingham. So it's exciting to think about every building now has half a dozen or so teachers who have this big picture view of HRS, how it applies to them in their individual classrooms, and then out into their departments, and then how they can help lead that across their building. So what those days look like when we are at one of these large conferences, we all get in there on a Tuesday, and by Wednesday, we are in session all week, the rest of the week, all day. So in this case, both mornings, Wednesday and Thursday, started with keynotes from some excellent educational researchers and former educators in the K-12 setting. So we had Dr. Phil Warwick that we worked with on Wednesday morning, and Dr. Warwick really digs into leadership for high reliability schools. And what I love about what he really emphasizes is that leadership is not about the position that you hold in a district. It's really about understanding that leadership comes at all levels, and that's how we really move our district forward to ensure that we're doing the right work. And it also helps us to understand what is working well and what isn't, like Dr. Sanders talked about, prove or improve. And it helps to really evaluate what's on teachers' plates and what can we take off, what isn't working, and what can we take off because it's not a valuable use of time. We also got to hear Dr. Mario Acosta. Both of these educators worked together in a high school setting several years back and moved their high school and then their district through the HRS process. So they've definitely walked in our shoes. And what's exciting about it is that they give us that outlook in terms of, you know what, this is not easy work. It's not meant to be easy work. This is hard work when you really start to peel back the onion layers and see what's underneath there, see what is going well. But honestly, what you find is some things aren't going well, and you have to look at those. And it's not necessarily that they're impacting students right away. What we have found is that when we peel back those onion layers, the effects of decisions that we're making at certain grade levels across our district are impacting the students later on. And so when you really start to dig into this and you start to look at deficits, that's where you start to look at where can we start that process of ensuring that they don't fall behind in the first place. And so that has been a lot of eye-opening work for us as teachers. It's really hard when you are looking at your day in and day out and saying, I feel like I'm giving this everything I have and my students are succeeding. And to say, but is there something else that we could do differently because there's an impact down the road that we're trying to prevent, you know, X, Y, and Z happening? So it's opened up a lot of wonderful conversations, reflective conversations with our educators. And I really believe that we are becoming better individually. We're becoming stronger as teams. And ultimately, we know that those teachers are going to impact our students in the most positive way possible.
Has the reaction and response to getting involved in HRS, has it been positive? I mean, I assume so. But on the part of your teachers who have engaged in and been exposed to this, are they looking at this as a very hopeful, positive tool?
You know what, I would say that from the majority of teachers that we talk with, the first reaction is really, oh my gosh, this is one more initiative. This is one more thing on my plate. This is one more thing I have to do. This is one more thing that in 2 or 3 years is going to cycle out and, you know, we're not going to hear the acronym HRS anymore. But what's been exciting about taking teachers with us to these conferences is they realize that it's not actually a program. It's a way that we evaluate our own systems. It's very much program agnostic. It's person agnostic. So it really allows us to look at things through a lens of what indicators should we be meeting for students. And that's all based on research over the last 75 years, you know, to more current research, and saying these are the indicators that we should be meeting at each of these levels. So for instance, level one, safe, supportive, collaborative culture, level two, heading into instruction. So it's not about doing something. It's about looking at what we're doing and how we're doing it and saying, is this the most effective way? And are the students ultimately getting the results out of this that we want? So I think that it's a mindset shift. It's really about understanding that this isn't going to go away. This is now embedded in how we operate because this is how we truly determine if what we're doing is effective for students or not. So I think the more teachers that we take to these conferences, the more that we continue to bring them back and they're talking with their colleagues. It's exciting to think about where we were 2 years ago and where we are today and thinking ahead 5 years where we will be. That's the part for me that, you know, sometimes you get stuck in the day in and day out, and that's what makes it all worth it because you look ahead to 5 years and you know the work that we're doing today is worth it because of the impact it's going to have on students several years down the road.
Of course, of course. Well, that's an excellent description you've given. Well, Alyssa, from a primary school teacher's perspective, what are your insights from the HRS conference?
You know, I was one of those teachers, and I feel like I'm a pretty positive teacher where if we get new things that are given to us, I try to get teachers on board and excited about at least trying them and doing them within our school. HRS was just something that I did not understand well enough until I went to the conference, and I honestly wasn't bought in, and I was pretty hesitant and kind of digging my heels in the sand for the first time in my 19 years of teaching, to be honest. And so I was digging my heels in the sand about it, not really wanting to go forward. Once I got to the conference and I heard these speakers and I heard what HRS is and I saw the big picture, I am hooked. You know, like my best teacher friend and I, we flew back and the whole time we're sitting there scratching notes about this is how we're going to start this. This is what we're going to start in our classroom. This is where we're going to start in our grade level. And we're trying to be very intentional about how we do this, where we start doing things within our own classroom and not pushing things out on our grade level colleagues, but trying some things in our classroom and then sharing how that works, like in our data meetings.
Well, so you have already identified benefits that you can deploy to benefit students and your teacher colleagues at Edgewood Primary, right?
100%. Some of the speakers, too, that really impacted what I do at kindergarten level, I went to a seminar all about vocabulary instruction and the six steps of teaching vocabulary instruction. And then I also went to a different seminar about questioning and how to have like a more effective and intentional questioning within your classroom throughout the day. And, you know, today in my Amplify lesson, I've already going to apply what I did in the vocabulary seminar, and I already have it laid out for my kiddos to start applying those models in my classroom. And the questioning tools, I was very more thoughtful about how to lay out my questioning tools and not just the questions that I put in place, but then how to respond to some of those kiddos, their answers, and how to the next step for questioning. I took a lot out of it. And one of the best things that I think came from this is we're all doing hard work, but we need to make sure that we're doing the right hard work in our classrooms. And, you know, Phil Warwick shared a story about our stamps on each kiddo. You know, when my 22 sweet babes leave my classroom this year, they're going to have a Mrs. Drew stamp on them. And I want that Mrs. Drew stamp to be like super strong and super, the ink to be super dark because I really gave them everything they need. But I want to really, you know, ensure that every kindergartner that leaves kindergarten has that same deep stamp so that they all go to first grade with a solid, consistent foundation. And that's been a big thing for us because we get in our mindset of we get stuck in our own little whole of kindergarten. And that's all I think about. Well, my part of the student's journey is just a little path. And I need to step back sometimes and see that these kids have a whole part of their journey. And I'm one very important chunk of it, but I'm just a chunk. And so I've got to keep getting them prepared for the rest of their journey going forth.
Right, right. Well, Claire, I'm interested also in hearing what your thoughts are on the takeaways from the HRS conference. What can you share with us?
It's hard to even know where to start because I feel like I learned so much. Like Alyssa, the metaphor of putting your stamp on a kid really resonated with me. That's something that's always been very important to me, is that any student that comes out of my classroom is going to have a strong foundation in reading, writing, any form of communication. But it also made me realize that I want every teacher in the school to also have a strong stamp so that we are preparing students as much as we can for what lies beyond high school.
So high school, the benefits to high school students are definitely there just as they are at the primary level, right?
Absolutely. We're trying to, you know, I mean, I teach seniors, so I'm always thinking, what are the next steps for them and how can I make sure that they have the smoothest transition possible, whether that be to college or to a trade program or if they're going straight into the workforce or the military.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, it certainly sounds like the high reliability schools push. The initiative, the engagement, if you will, holds a lot of promise for noticeable improvements and benefits to students and teachers. The experience and ideas your staff all walked away from the conference with seem very exciting. and motivating and, I'll use the word invigorating. But perhaps we can have an update report on a future episode of the show and talk about it once you've begun to really implement the whole philosophy. I would like to thank each of you for joining me today here on Super Chat.
Thank you.
Folks, I ask that you share this podcast with your community of school-associated friends using social media. I'd like to thank our sponsor for their support, the locally owned operated McDonald's restaurants in Bloomington and Ellettsville. Just remember, if you have a comment or a question for us right here in Studio Number 7, email it to us, shout@theflypod.com. Well, I have been your host, Gary Puckett. And our show comes to you free and clear on your portable media device or computer through the program feeds of the flypod.com New Media Network. We're glad you joined us today. Thank you for listening in here on Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Richland Beanblossom Community Schools.